Peace to everyone. Welcome to Nia2X Radio, the voice of the people. And we are here tonight with a very special program. We have very special guests during a very special time indeed. Tonight we are interviewing three guests, and they're calling in from around the country. And they are our youth, yes, indeed. And they are here to talk to us about their feelings going to school, or should I say not being able to go to school. They're doing school virtually. And this is really new to the entire world with the pandemic. Today is February 9th, 2021. And this pandemic, this worldwide virus, is still in effect. And our youth are really, really, really being challenged by not being able to go to school. And some of them may love it, some of them may not. Let's hear what the effect is and their opinions are about the pandemic and how it affects their education. So I'd like to introduce our wonderful guest. We have Miss Carmen Parham. She's calling in from North Carolina. We have Joshua Morris Jr. He's calling in from Tennessee. And we have our news correspondent, Carlton Thompson. He's calling in from Maryland. So welcome all three of our guests at the round table this evening. How is everyone today?
We're good. How about you?
I'm doing great.
Okay. Oh, okay. I heard Joshua. I heard good, good, good. I'm so happy to hear that. I'm faithful, indeed. I'm a faithful individual and just so happy that you all are here, because a lot of times during the pandemic, we don't ask children. We basically tell you. We don't listen to children as much as we could and as much as we should. We basically make decisions and tell you to follow these directions without understanding the impact of your personal feelings, and that's why you're here tonight to talk about you getting education virtually rather than being able to get up and eat breakfast and catch the school bus and go to school. So I'm going to start off by asking each of you, I'm going to start off with ladies first, Carmen Parham, how do you feel, how did you feel in the beginning of the pandemic when children were asked to stay home? And this was around March 2020, almost a year ago, when you first started hearing about it, oh, we don't have to go to school today. And then, Joshua, you answered the same question, and then Carlton. Carmen.
When I heard that, you know, COVID hit the U.S. and we cannot go back to school until further notice, I felt very excited because I saw it was a new opportunity for me to work on myself and finally get a break from school, because school was so hard on me since I had these difficult classes this semester. But as it soon progressed to me staying home longer and longer, I got more tired and it felt like my life didn't really have a routine, and it got a little boring at times. But at first, I was really happy and I was very excited to stay home and have all the things at home that I wanted to do and finally do things that I want to do. I felt very happy at first.
Yes, ma'am. Joshua Morris Jr.
When I first found out that we didn't have to go to school, my school didn't really tell us that it was COVID. They just told us we weren't going to school today. So that day I was excited. I was happy because I got to sleep more. And I didn't really want to. School was a lot, and it was tiring. And then I found out that we had to do school from home, and I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. And when I started doing it, like first week I thought it was cool, but then after that I just started getting, it started feeling like regular school, just more issues.
Yes. Thank you. Carlton?
It felt great getting out of school for a time, you know, to like release some stress, I would say. But after like long period times, it kind of got difficult for me, I would say, because I really don't like learning from home. I'd rather be in the building and stuff like that so I can, you know, talk with the teachers like face-to-face instead of just over virtually and stuff like that.
But we're going back, like, when you first heard, you know, like, oh, wow, I ain't got to go to school. Oh, this is great. So when it first happened is where we are, but we'll lead up to, you know, maybe where your opinions changed after you saw this is going to be longer than I thought. So in the beginning, Carlton, how did you feel?
I felt great. I just, because during the time, I felt like it was kind of difficult because a lot of school was just putting a lot of stress on me at the time. So when I heard that we was able to get out of school, I was just chill. I was happy about it. Finally chill out, relieve some stress.
Got you. Okay, so let's find out, Carmen, Joshua, and Carlton, what's the name of your school and what grades are you in?
I attend Vernon Malone College and Career Academy, and I am in the 10th grade.
Joshua?
I attend Germantown Middle School, and I'm in the 7th grade.
I go to Oxon Hill High School, and I'm in the 10th grade.
I see. Okay, so, you know, the average child, you know, would feel, we don't have to go to school for a week, you know. But as time went on, what were your thoughts when you were listening to your parents or listening to mostly grown-ups, the news, the information? When you found out pandemic, and you finally realize there's something really going on, share your thoughts after you became very clear. We'll start with you, Joshua. When you became very clear what pandemic is and that this is taking effect all over the world, there is a virus all over the world, and this is why we're not going to school. What are your thoughts about the pandemic, Joshua?
When I really found out about the pandemic, I was a little upset because I was really looking forward to my 7th grade year, because that year I was going to get to play football in my school. I was going to get to go to school, go to a new school, and I was just really looking forward to the year. But it was like everything just got thrown away when they started saying, oh, well, you can't go to school because COVID. And like I said, at first in the beginning, I was all excited, but now I was like, I was upset. Because I'm going to miss out on the real school if this keep going on forever.
That's a great answer. Carmen, go ahead, honey.
When I kept seeing the news thing about pandemic and this and the rates going up, I was actually pretty scared because I was being paranoid about me always getting sick, and I was always looking out for my welfare, my mom's welfare. I just really was upset because, honestly, when the coronavirus started, I was in 9th grade, and I really didn't get to have my 9th grade year. That's my first year. I'm a freshman. So I didn't really get to have my freshman year as I wanted to. And now that I'm progressing through high school, I probably won't see that until Corona's, you know, done. So it was really depressing because I was actually looking forward to being, you know, progressing through high school in person and meeting these new people and trying out this new experience at my school. It was just really upsetting for me because I missed out on a whole bunch of opportunities that I didn't want to miss out on.
Yes, ma'am. Carlton Thompson.
When I first heard about the pandemic, at first I really didn't think it was going to affect me at all on where I was and where I lived at. But now it shows that it really does affect everyone. And I just felt like Joshua said, it was a lot of school events and activities that I was looking forward to participating in. And, yeah, that just all got taken away. I didn't get a chance to do that. But another reason, let's see. I'm not sure, but at my school, it's like a lot of stuff that goes on there, I would say. But it just gave me time to, you know, take time and relax and think about some of the stuff going down at the school.
And something,
well, I think go ahead, Joshua.
I said, and something that I forgot to add was once I found out that people were, like, really dying and this was really, really serious, I also feel bad for all the people that was losing their loved ones because it was so sudden and, like, at the time, you didn't even really know if you even had it.
I see. So the virus itself, after you three were really seeing that there is something serious taking place, not only in my state, not only in my community, not only in this country, but they're talking pandemic. And at one point, everybody, including adults, what does pandemic mean? And pandemic means worldwide. I remember when I found out the country of Italy, the northern country of Italy, the northern part, I remember how I felt when I heard for the first time in my life that the northern part of Italy was completely shut down. I hadn't ever heard anything like that in my life. I've heard it in other countries, but not in the United States of America. And I remember the feeling I had, like, wow. And then the day I learned, well, the very next day I learned about the northern part of Italy, the entire northern portion or geographics of Italy was shut down. Then I heard the entire country was shut down, and that was alarming to myself that an entire country was in a popular country. Most of us have heard about Italy, and so I can only imagine how children were feeling as Joshua was putting it out there. This is a very serious situation, and it still is a very serious situation. If you're just tuning in, we're talking with our three guests, and they're youth. They are 10th graders, a 7th grader, and they are expressing the impact of COVID-19 and its effect on their education. This is the first time a pandemic has In recent times, anyway, this is the first time a pandemic has interrupted the education of our children. And we have three children online. We have Joshua Morris Jr. from Tennessee, Carlton Thompson from Maryland, and Carmen Parham from North Carolina. They're here at the round table expressing their feelings about their education and the pandemic at the same time. So you're listening to NIA2X Radio, the voice of the people, and we're going to move right along. Carlton, besides your friends, is there anything else you miss about school? And actually, you've already answered that. You said, and Joshua said, that there were activities that can only take place in school that, hey, you couldn't be involved because of the pandemic. Does anybody else want to add in? What is it, add in about their feelings, rather, that you miss about school just besides your friends? And if you want to say your friends, that would be okay. Anyone?
Another thing I really missed about school was that when I was at school, I always had like a challenge, no matter what it was. And maybe if it was like math or if it was science or just any like thing that could challenge me, I used to like it because I'm very, for one, if I'm going against somebody, I'm very competitive. But for two, I like challenges because they help me think, like, faster. They help me think smarter. So when I found out I couldn't go to school, I thought about how a lot of the, I thought my brain would just stop working at the point that it was, because when I was at school, I had to always think on my toes. And then I had told some teachers, like, even if it was just random, give me just random, like, worksheets or something to work on. And I feel like now that I'm not in school, and when I first got out, all I was doing was, like, sleeping, eating, watching TV, and playing video games. I feel like my brain wasn't really working at the point that it was when I was back in school. And, like, when I went on virtual, I was a little lost because my brain wasn't used to working that hard.
Okay, for the listening audience, that's Joshua Morris Jr. And, again, he's calling in from Tennessee. Carmen, Carlton, do you want to add in anything, any comments about your feelings and challenges, personal challenges, or maybe you heard some of your friends' challenges talking with you when you realize we're not going to go to school for the next couple of months?
I would like to add that the fact that, you know, Corona hit, I felt it was the best thing that ever happened to me, but turns out it really wasn't all that great because I started to miss my friends so much. Like, I haven't seen my friends in so long, and I know that they're okay, but I just want to see that they're okay. But what I really miss about school is that I miss the surrounding area. Like, I miss everything about it. I say this now, but I'm going to keep saying it forever because I used to say, oh, I don't like school. But now I actually do love school. I miss my teachers. I miss the staff members that used to help me. I miss my friends. I miss the opportunities I had in clubs. Like, since Corona hit, I feel as though my life literally has no routine now. Because when I was in school, it had multiple routines. Get up, go to school, work as hard as you can to make your mama proud, go home. And it had a routine that I like to follow. I like when my life has structure. But since Corona hit, my life is kind of, you know, I don't have much of a structure to go off of because I'm in my house 24/7 now because we are in lockdown, and I have to sit at a computer desk for 8 hours a day and plus more to do homework, and it's not all that great. I feel as though if Corona never hit, I would be 10 times happier than I am now.
Oh, I thought those were great comments. And for the audience tuning in, that's Carmen Parham calling from North Carolina. I really appreciate the youth telling us, instead of us telling them, they are explaining to us the emotional impact of how they feel. We can imagine, but to hear you children talking about it is a whole different outlook on the situation that is happening. Carlton, anything? We can go to the next question.
Well, I would like to say that from regular school compared to virtual school, it was way easier. I feel, my opinion, it was way easier in regular school because now we have to rely on all these technical things like internet, computer, and stuff like that. When most of the time in regular school, we would just have like maybe worksheets, stuff like that. We would rarely use technology and stuff like that. And I feel that if I was in school, I feel like I could get better grades than I have now because it feels kind of just difficult online because I can't really point out stuff where I'm struggling at or get a lot of help virtually than I would in regular school.
When you try to get help, Carlton, like you get an instruction from the teacher, and you may want that teacher to clarify it more. How does that work? Do children, when you say you don't get the type of help, if you have a question, what is happening when you inquire for the teacher to explain the assignment a little different? I mean, we're getting ready to go to a break, but not right now, but in a few. Go ahead, Carlton. You have a few.
I would say that when we ask questions towards the teachers, it's not – they try – I feel like they try their best to help, but because of, like, all the technical stuff, not everybody has, like, the same laptops and stuff like that. It can't get done, I would say. And if we was in school, there wouldn't be none of the – I feel like it wouldn't be none of these problems at all. It would just be simple. And the teacher could, like – for example, like, in regular school, if you were doing something wrong on your paper, the teacher could just come up, could either, like, go to your paper and point it out or, like, draw – put it on, a whiteboard or something.
So we're going to go into a break in just about a minute. But I wanted to know what exactly, some examples from our three guests, if you raise your hand, let's say, I have a question, I have a comment, this, that, and the other, and what literally happens when you do that, you know, because it has to be a challenge that the teacher is not there and the teacher is, you know, has to look at an individual and decide, oh, wow, the teacher has to look at an individual and decide what they're going to do or what they're going to say. So we are going to a commercial break at this time. We have a sponsor who is making this program possible. We'll come back to our guests, Joshua Morris Jr., Carlton Thompson, Carmen Parham, and we want to actually learn what our children are going through in school with the pandemic. At this time, let us hear from our sponsor.
Hello, NIA2X. Thank you for this opportunity, and I have certainly enjoyed the call. My name is Lynette Booker, and I am the founder and operator of a company called Wrapped in One. Think of a Christmas present or a present, and you don't know what's in that present, and you're very excited about opening that present. Well, Wrapped in One is a multi-network service provider. We are administrative consultants, which simply means we network with other businesses, and we try to provide excellent opportunities for other business to network with other businesses. And then we have customer service that we work with our clients. And then we also like to reach out and help our community. So what we do administrative-wise, we help people write resumes. We connect with people in various careers. We also do bookkeeping. We can do bulletins, programs. We'll do flyers. If we have an event, an even virtual event, we can help you set that event up with the Zoom call. We'll even teach you how to use Zoom. But we don't stop there. We have people that will come and clean your house. Even with COVID, we are still practicing social distancing. We provide counseling. We have personal trainers, home improvements. But one of my favorite parts of Wrapped in One is the music part, where we can do virtual parties over the Zoom, even Facebook Live. Not only that, for those, we can convert VHS tapes, those square tapes, into DVDs, which are now circular, or we'll convert your LPs. One of the things I like about Wrapped in One is that we like to reach out to other businesses and make references. For instance, you'll say, hey, Wrapped in One, or Lynette, I need a painter. I may not be able to paint, but I'll say, let's do this. I'll get back with you, and then I'll reach out to 2 to 3 painters and connect you with those painters. So not only has Wrapped in One gained exposure, but the painters now have exposure, and you may have a long-lasting relationship. So how can you get in contact with Wrapped in One? You can email us at Wrapped, WRAPPED@gmail.com, or you may phone us at 202-322-2470. We have a great website where you can learn all about us and the different opportunities there, and our website is WRAPPED-N1. Our motto, when you need it done, contact Wrapped in One. Thank you, NIA2X.
All right. We say thank you to our sponsor. Without our sponsors, we would not have any type of program here on NEA2X Radio, the voice of the people. Thank you indeed. Back to our guest. We are speaking about education and its impact on our students. Our students are the future. Young people that are getting educated now, they are learning how to be doctors, lawyers, engineers. They're learning how to be teachers themselves. They're learning how to do technical occupations. They are learning the different occupations that most of us are holding now. Some of us are retired from. And their learning skills are being so challenged because they are learning online rather than in a classroom environment. We have Carlton Thompson, Carmen Parham, and Joshua Morris Jr. They're calling in from around the country, sharing their experiences on what the effect, the impact of this situation that is on this planet when it comes to their education and learning in school. And they were talking when we left, they were basically mentioning what it was like not to see your friends and some of the things that they are going through as they soldier up. These are little soldiers. They are adapting to whatever is happening, and they are determined, I'm certain, to push forward and do what is ever necessary to obtain their education, but your education has been seriously challenged. I haven't ever heard of anything like this. I couldn't imagine what you're going through. And this is why we invited the three students tonight. We, the adults, we need to listen to them explain to us, and then parents be able to maybe make changes or keep on the same trail you're on. Listening to Carlton, Joshua, and Carmen. So we talked about how you felt in the beginning, and it was Carmen who talked about how she really misses her friends, and I know that's going around a lot. Let's talk about when school went virtual. Were there any hang-ups? Were there any glitches? How do you describe that when school was coming from the physical school into a virtual school? School is online now. Was it a smooth transition, Joshua? Was it did it require you all to be very, very patient? Because it was new to everybody, every human being. And nobody was really prepared. And now it may be on track a little bit better. Joshua, what was your experience when it first went online, sir?
Well, from what I know, well, from what I feel, when it first went online, I was actually still in the sixth grade and I was at a different school. But I had already had plans to go to another one in the seventh. So it's sixth grade turning me over. And only one of my teachers is on my team. So every day I just go to the class and I email my other teachers, hey, I don't know if you guys have a Teams, but I can't get in it. Can you get me in? No responses from my teachers, no nothing. And after my mom was talking and late and stuff from
You're not clear, Joshua. I'm sorry, Joshua. You're breaking up a little bit. Go ahead, though. I heard you couldn't get in with your teachers. You were trying to tell them you couldn't get in, and then you started fading away. But go ahead, sir.
Can you hear me better now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I was, like I said, I was in the class. I was trying to get in the class, rather. And randomly, we just started getting all these lates and tardies and stuff. And my mom called my school. And they were talking about that they've been doing classes online this entire time on another channel. So that was wasn't really that smooth. The school I was at wasn't organized at all. Like, only one of my teachers, and I couldn't get in her class either, but she was the only one actually emailing me back, sending me to work, saying, okay, can you do this, can you do this? And I'm sending it back. And so, yeah, that was just a lot. But when I got in the seventh grade, like, after time started going on, it got a little more smoother. I mean, there's still some problems with it, but it's gotten way better, I can say that, at least for me.
Oh, very interesting. Thank you. Carmen, your experience, like, transitioning from a physical school all the way to the virtual that you're doing now, was it smooth? Was it challenging? Share with us how you walked through it.
First, it was extremely difficult, like, very hard for everybody, even the teachers. When it happened, in ninth grade year, it was almost close to the end of the year anyways, so they started giving out people, like, oh, you're supposed to attend these classes during this and this time, as if it was a regular school day. So we will all get these notifications on our school Gmail account, and we would join them, or sometimes you join them, and it was so difficult. It didn't make any sense. So there was a lot of people who didn't just go anyway. Like me, I stopped going because I couldn't get the hack of it. And it didn't affect me at all because the teachers were understanding. So at the end of it, they just quit at the end. But now that we have more structure and more structure and more instruction, it's easier now that we're giving more, like, assignments that are actually made for this type of curriculum and what's going on now. Teachers are now answering their emails, and, you know, you can ask certain students for help because they actually are there and they're supposed to be there. So it's way easier now than it was then.
Yes, indeed. Just tuning in, you're listening to our guest, Carmen Parham, Carlton Thompson, and Joshua Morris, Jr. These are students, two 10th graders, one 7th grader, explaining to us education and its effect from the current pandemic that is taking place as we speak. Carlton Thompson, share with us what was happening in your school with the virtual coming from the physical part of learning in school. You went from a classroom to a computer. What was it like, sir, in the beginning?
In the beginning, I wouldn't say it was very rough, but at the same time, it wasn't very smooth either, because from at my school, my, like, all the teachers and stuff, since, like, before it got to the USA, COVID, All the teachers were kind of, like, preparing and stuff. So some teachers were ready, but some teachers weren't because they didn't believe it was going to be here. So at the same time, all the teachers, like, they prepared, like, a bunch of links and stuff to, you know, get into our classes. But at the same time, some students didn't have, like, the right equipment and stuff like that and wasn't able to get to the classes. So I wouldn't say it was rough, but it wasn't smooth at all. Also,
thank you. So that's Carlton Thompson from Maryland. Carmen is from North Carolina, and Joshua is calling in from Tennessee. And they don't know each other. Well, Carlton and Joshua kind of work together here in the radio station, but they haven't met face to face. They work virtually online, and we have to think about the teachers too. It had to be very frustrating for not only the teachers, but the administrators, the principals of schools. I mean, when you talk about schools, you're talking about universities. You're talking about preschool children. This affects education hands down worldwide, and it is very, very serious because what do you think about education? I wasn't a good student when I was in school. I was not a good student after I came out of what you call middle school and we call junior high, same grade. Some of them are the same grades. I was pretty good in elementary. I was pretty good in junior high. But after that, I didn't do very well. So what do you think that the schools are going through as far as the teachers, the principals, and things like that? Does anyone want to share thoughts about maybe witnessing or hearing some of the frustration from great teachers that are really dedicated, that are really committed, that really understand how important education is? So we'll talk about them a little bit and also listen to what you feel the weight of education. How important is education? Let's talk about those administrators first. Carmen?
I know it was very hard for all staff members at my school to pull it together and make us go to school when Corona hit. It was very hard for everyone. Communications for every student was different because some students didn't have the technology or they didn't have the equipment. They didn't have much of anything. Or some students were lucky and had those things. So it was just very different for everybody. It was very weird, and we had to get it together. And I'm glad that we are now, you know, in it together and experiencing everything and helping one another out. I'm very happy that we're doing that, and I'm very proud of my school for doing that, because without helping each other, we wouldn't be here right now.
Real good. Carlton?
At my school, I feel that some of the administrators, it didn't feel like they really had a big problem or anything. But I feel like some of the teachers were very old, I would say, and they weren't very used to the technology and stuff like that. So those type of teachers, they didn't know what was going on. They didn't know what to do. Some teachers had to learn, like it took them a while to learn to, you know, figure out how to use the technology and stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, that's really, really interesting. You know what? I am behind in a break. I was supposed to take a break 7:07. We have another sponsor. And without our sponsors, there would be no Nia2X Radio. Our sponsors make it all happen. They have information that is shared all over the country that is not actually specific to the area you live in. I need our guests to please hold on again as we listen to our sponsor give us vital information to make this broadcast possible. And we'll come back and find out what does education mean to the three of our guests. You're listening to Nia2X Radio, the voice of the people. Our guests are Carmen Parham calling in from North Carolina, Joshua Morris Jr. calling in from Tennessee, and our own news correspondent, Carlton Thompson, calling in from Maryland. Please stand by as we hear from one of our great sponsors here on Nia2X Radio.
Well, blessings and peace. My name is Ayo Handy Kendi, and I am blessed to be the founder of Black Love Day. The greeting on Black Love Day, Nia Akoma, is a greeting that says, get a heart, be patient, return to love. And Black Love Day is a day where you can unapologetically show love. Black Love Day is the third commemorative holiday or holy day of observance, celebration, reconciliation, atonement, and a demonstration of love within and for the black community. We demonstrate love this day using five tenets, so what we call the loving acts: love for the Creator, love for self, love for family, love for the Black community and the Black race. As the founder, I have seen this love transform people on this day, and they feel so good that they want to continue to demonstrate these five tenets, or what we call principles. So what would happen if we, around the nation and around the world for 24 hours on this day, Black Love Day, that everyone in our community perform these five specific acts of love? Just what would have happened? Just imagine. And on this day, this is a day that everyone also in the white community, they put love in action towards Blacks, and they deal with their own attitudes about love. Well, this is what happens on Black Love Day, February the 13th. It's the third nationally observed African-American holiday. It is a holy day. But it's not just a day where you look at what you're going to do or where you're going to go. It really is a day where you put love in action, because the goal is to show that love has power and love can heal. And if we use love, we can change our own conditions. But this year in 2021, due to COVID, we will gather in love for a free Black Love virtual conference and children's book fair from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then we'll gather in the evening for the Black Love Day 28th Relationship Ceremony from 7 to 9 p.m. We want you to transform in love. We want you to practice the principles. We want you to gain tools and solutions, resources, and become inspired with the inner attainment. And just connect as we showcase 30 presenters, healers, authors, community spiritual leaders, and you. Expand your heart. Increase your love that day. Relax and de-stress through breathology. We want you to hear the message of me on our 2021 theme, Healing the Wounds That Divide, Reuniting Our Strengths Through Black Love. Well, in order to attend this free event, you want to register on Eventbrite, and you can get the link at the website. PositiveEnergyWorks.com. That's one E that connects positive with energy, because we want to serve you so that you can be the most positive that you can be. And you can be quite positive when you celebrate your love. We've got to love Black people, because it can heal all of our relationships. On February the 13th, between Black people, between Black and white people, between all people, we want to increase the peace. We want to stop the violence. It's time to heal the divides, and we want to share an alternative to Valentine's Day, the commercialism of Valentine's Day, with a more cultural, spiritual holiday or holy day that will help us heal all of our relationships. So please contact us for further information, 202-667-2577. That's the number, 202-667-2577. And please look at all the links for all the activities, interviews, and further events for Black History Month. As we demonstrate love, as we spend our money where it counts, where we support each other, where we stop the violence and increase the peace by returning to love. Go to the website www.AfricanAmericanHolidays.org, AfricanAmericanHolidays.org, or PositiveEnergyWorks.com. Spread the love.
All right. We want to say thank you to our sponsor, Sister Ayo Handy Kendi. And I don't know if I heard her say that it has been 28 years of celebrating Black Love Day. 28 years. It just gets bigger. It gets better. And, again, it's so powerfully cultured because it's from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Tune in. I'm certainly going to be there. I believe I'm a presenter. I'm not sure of what I'll be talking about. It probably will be somewhere around Black history. It could be Black economics, Black Love Day, every February 13th of the year. We thank our sponsors today for having come and share their information. We're going to go back to our guest, the youth, our future. They're on the line, and they are speaking to us about their experiences. And actually, our youth are showing us how strong they are. I mean, to go through this, to see experience and witness adults are kind of not knowing what to do. The youth are standing, and they're patient, they're participating, and they're positive. And it all makes such a great difference in to what they're seeing this year in school compared to when the pandemic first blew up. Everything was just, nobody knew, and everybody was feeling their way in the dark, if you will. So we'll go to Carlton Thompson first. We want to hear your thoughts about education. How important is education to you?
Well, I would say education is very important to me, I would say, because can you hear me now? Well, my education, I would say, it, I really need
no,
it because
you are not clear. We'll come back to you. We'll come back to you. I don't know. There's a little difference in the clarity. We don't want to miss anything you're saying. We want to really listen to you and hear you. Let's go to Carmen. And we'll come back to you, Carlton. There's something technically in this disadvantage. We can't hear clearly what you're saying. We'll come back. Carmen, education, what does it mean to you?
Education to me means a way of life because I see it as if you do not have a stable education, you will get nowhere in life. I mean, you can have great lifetime aspirations and wishes and goals, but you need basic education to back that up. Like, if you want, let's say you want to become a lawyer, you have to go to school, you have to get good grades, you have to pass all your tests. You have to do things that require education like things. You can't always just think that education is like, you know, you're tired of school sometimes and you want a break or whatever and it gets hard, but that's just showing you that you're doing what you're doing, what you're supposed to do. It's going to get hard, I know, but it's going to help you one day, and one day you are going to look back and thank education for where you are now because everything in life requires education, and you need that to live.
Carlton, are you ready?
Yes.
Yeah, you sound much better. Go ahead, sir.
Well, education is very important to me because basically, like Carmen said, I don't feel like you can get anywhere in life without it. You can't just, you know, be out here without knowing anything and expect to, you know, get through life, I would say. Let's, for example, you can't expect to get something if you don't know anything about it. Or, like, for example, you need to learn, it's like basic education. You need for example, like math and stuff, you can't count your money without knowing math and stuff like that. You can't be able to read if you don't know how to read. It's like an education and stuff like that. And let's see.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you're scoring, huh? You're scoring great points. You are, well, we hear you, definitely. You want to wrap it up, or are you complete?
Yeah, I would say I'm complete. I would just, you really need education to be able to live, I would say.
Yes, sir. Joshua Morris Jr., education, what does it mean to you? Thank you, Carmen. Thank you, Carlton.
To me, I think that education is a must because one example I heard from someone before was they had asked me, would I rather be a football player or the person who owns the team? And I said the person who owns the team. And they told me why. And they told me I should want to own the team because if I own it, I have enough money to even pay them, not even half of what I'm getting. So what I think about that is there's a lot of jobs out there that people do and people get educations, but you need to really try when you're in school and do your best because when you're in school and you know what you want to do, you have to go at that and you have to try to do the best at whatever you're trying to do. So if you want to be an engineer, you can't just go to a – you shouldn't want to just, like, go to a random school and call it a day. No, you should want to go to the best school that you can find, that you can afford, and you should want to go there and you should want to get the best education possible because if you have a good education, you can get a good job, a good stable income, and a good life.
All right. Well, that was Joshua Morris Jr. calling in from Tennessee today. And we say that a lot because some people are just tuning in, didn't hear the show from the top. You know, also, college is not for everybody. You can get education. There's some millionaires who dropped out of school. I think Steve Jobs is one of those. Correct me if I'm just look it up after. I think Steve Jobs was a dropout. And, of course, he made, you know, I'm not technically educated. He did something with the use of the smartphone. He died of cancer several years ago. But there are many people. The most honorable, Elijah Muhammad, dropped out in the third grade. That I'm sure of. And I'm not trying to say anything negative about school, but education is not just in a building, in a school, in a college. Education is everyday life. Education is knowing how to cross the street without getting hit by a car. You want to have knowledge. Again, college is not for everyone. There are all kind of technical schools that teach about how to go in the back of a computer and learn how to operate a computer. In college, staying strong, there's so much you can learn in college, of course. But education is, I just want to make sure that we're clear that it's not just in a building as far as going to college. But going to college does give certain advantages because it concentrates on the student learning how to come out and be well trained into whatever field that they're going in. But again, you have all kind of auto mechanic schools. You have all kind of cosmetology schools teaching young women and men their trade, that also is very lucrative. It makes and earns a lot of money. Nothing wrong with college. Nothing wrong with going to other type of higher learning institutions to learn how to do or operate something. Or what about creating something? We need an answer to the pandemic. It's going to come out of one of these young people that are around this planet right now. Somebody's going to come up with the answer to HIV/AIDS, to blindness. We haven't done it, you know. So it's going to come from one of the youth that just sits up in his room or her room, and they think about things, and then they take that thought into action. Somebody thought of the computer. It came out of somebody's brain, and then they went to get the resources. Some of those resources are from college. Some of those resources are from other places they learned. But I'm not hearing anybody talk about reading. Well, whether you go to college or not, I mentioned that I was not a good student coming out of high school. But what has helped me as an individual certainly is reading. Carmen, what do you think about reading?
Personally, I love reading. Reading is everything, because if you read, you get knowledge. And what knowledge is power. Because without knowledge, then it's not a way of life. But you definitely need the basics of reading, like knowing grammar, or knowing how to spell, or putting a sentence together. Without reading, you can't really talk, can't read what's on a sign, can't get your way around anywhere. Reading is very important in day-to-day life.
Absolutely. We're wrapping it on up. Our little hour went real quick. Carlton, reading, what are your thoughts? You don't have to, and some people don't like to read. I didn't read my first book until I was 21. My mother always tried to get our family to read. If you didn't have pictures, I thought it was ridiculous. That's just me. I thought it was basically, that was my attitude. But I'm on the opposite side of that now. Carlton, reading, what do you think?
Well, just like you said, there's some people who don't like reading, and I would say I'm one of them. I really don't like reading books. I like to be active a lot, but I would still say it's still important, because if you can't read anything, you won't be able to do anything. You won't be able to understand anything, really, because you can't comprehend it yourself. So I would say reading is very important, well, at least the basics.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Joshua Morris, Jr., reading, your thoughts?
Personally, I love reading, and reading is really just a really good thing, because it keeps you sharp, it keeps you well-rounded in, like, other activities. It helps you think on your feet and, like, with real-life experiences. You can bring stuff that you read into real life. Like, let's say someone faints in front of you, about to pass out. Let's say you read a book where you learn how to do CPR and you can save their life. That's huge. And reading is just so important, because it's also very important because our people have fought for so long just to be able to pick up a book. And I feel like if we didn't read, it would be dishonoring them. So I feel like reading is very important. It keeps you smart. It keeps you sharp. And I think reading should always be something that everyone should be doing.
All right, we're going to wrap it up. I would like you three to come back, because we adults, we're listening. We're hearing you, and we're learning from you, because you are our future. And without the education, your education has been seriously interrupted. You know, how are we going to get cured and healed and grow as humanity without applying the knowledge in our brain? And now the children are in school, and some of the children on the line now, Carlton Thompson out of Maryland, Joshua Morris Jr. Carmen Parham out of North Carolina. They're going to be young adults in just a few years. They're going to be young adults contributing to the growth of society in a positive way. And right now their education is really, really being challenged from the pandemic. I want to ask a question Before we do leave, we are over. I want to thank our sponsors, Wrapped in One, and also Black Love Day, coming up February 13th. Sister Io Handy Kendi gave her number, and I hope we all participate this year, next year, every year, 202-667-2511. You can find Wrapped in One online. She said WRAPPED hyphen the letter N, like November, and the number one, Wrapped in One. So I want to ask, please give short answers because we're over. People are not wearing their mask during the pandemic. During the pandemic, they are not. They don't want to. They don't feel they have to. How do you feel about that, Joshua?
May I repeat that, please? You are going in and out.
I'm sorry. How do you feel about people not wearing their mask during this pandemic?
When I hear someone, like, especially when I see somebody, like, recording themselves and getting mad because they won't wear a mask, it makes me a little sad to think that people don't believe in a virus or people don't trust, like, what people are saying or saying, oh, masks don't even work, because it's just, I don't understand why people don't want to, like, it's probably way easier. Instead of every store that you go in getting kicked out, just pulling the mask, buying a mask and keeping it on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I can't understand the problem with wearing a mask.
Okay. Thank you. We got short answers because we're over. Carmen Parham, people not wearing masks. Let's hear what you have to say. Thank you, Joshua.
It frustrates me to the max to see that people are careless in disrespecting other people's health because they feel as though, oh, I'm good enough not to wear a mask, or my so-called health condition says I don't need a mask. Not only are you putting yourself at danger, you're putting others whose health may not be as good as yours. So you're putting everyone at risk to COVID, and you're making the lockdown in the, you know, everything, making us stay in way longer than it should have been. We should have been out here probably about this year, but everyone is out here without their mask, partying and doing whatever because they feel like it and they're tired of it. Well, we're tired of you not wearing your mask, so just wear it.
Thank you. Carlton Thompson.
I feel as though some people don't care for themselves when they don't wear their masks, because from my perspective, I feel like that I'm pretty sure nobody wants to get sick, and being sick is not a great feeling. And from COVID, people died from this, so I wouldn't see it. It seems just kind of unreasonable not to wear the mask, you know?
Absolutely. Oh, okay, so we did go a little over. I want to thank the listening audience, indeed our sponsors, our beautiful guests who are here today, our youth, expressing to us what they are going through with COVID-19. Can I invite you three back? Will you come back? Carmen, Joshua, Carlton?
Yes.
Yes, I wouldn't mind coming back.
Joshua, we're not hearing you. Yes, no?
Well, I said, of course.
Okay. All right, well, great. We'll get you another date. We can talk about different subjects. You were a wonderful guest. We really learned a lot. I, as an individual, learned a lot. I feel so bad about what's going on with education. Maybe when you get a little older, you'll realize even more how serious this is on every child, everywhere, when you are, in a sense, being deprived of education. But how blessed we are from the Most High God that we have this virtual technology, because without it, we're talking about some serious bad times, and this is rough and tough enough. Again, thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our engineer, Kwan. Thank you, Kwan. And to our listeners, our guest, Carmen Parham, Carlton Thompson, Joshua Morse, Jr. All right, so keep it right here on Nia2X Radio, the voice of the people. We are profanity-free. When you go to our site to hear any of our shows, just click www.blackonblackunity.com. When you get to the home page, click radio information, and you will have 10 pages of great shows. Go all the way down, click the next page. You want to learn some real black history? It's right here on Nia2X Radio, the voice of the people. So, again, thank you to our guests, our youth, our future, because what they have to say is extremely important, and you all three were very good. Thank you.